purpose. We're continuing this week a sermon series called Unwrapped Gifts. And we've been looking at a variety of gifts. And so far, we've taken these out of Romans chapter 12, where Paul writes and he says, if you have these gifts, then use them. They're not just there to sit on a shelf. They're not just there as decoration. And as we've looked at each of these, we discover, or at least I believe, that they're present in, or at least ought to be present in the life of every believer. Now, we have different levels of these gifts, and there are other gifts that we'll talk about in the coming weeks that might be a bit more specific to individuals, but we've talked about the gift of giving. And it's not that some are left off the hook and say, you don't have to, don't worry about it. There are those that God blesses in a way that they give more than others. But he says, if you have that gift, to give generously. But we all are called upon by God to give, because he first gave to us. We talked about the gift of insight, connecting that with prophecy, with speaking the truth of God's word, with an understanding of God's word. And while there are those that have an extra portion of this gift, and they use that gift to proclaim God's word, it's not that the rest of the people are supposed to be silent. We talked about the gift of fellowship and the mercy required for that. God says if we have that, if we use that, we should do so cheerfully. Last week we talked about the gift of teaching, and rather than describing how we ought to do that, that one God says is if you have this gift, then do it, teach. And we discovered through Scripture that all of us live a life that's designed by God to teach others. Through our words, through our actions, through our very life. This morning we're going to be looking at the gift of service. And just like the gift of teaching, when Paul describes it in Romans 12, he says, if you have the gift of serving, then serve. Now, as you read through the entirety of the Bible and you focus in on the New Testament teaching, you'll discover that we're all commanded to serve one another in love. That again, there's not a special group that you're the ones required to serve and everybody else gets served. There are those that are set apart to serve the church, the body of Christ, in special and unique ways, but it doesn't excuse the rest of us from serving in our workplace, serving in our schools, serving in our homes. So this morning, as we consider this gift of serving, I want us to focus in on the instruction of God. If we're called to serve, then we ought to serve now. God tells us in Proverbs chapter 3 that if you have the opportunity to serve someone in need and you have the ability to do that, that the right time to do it is then. Don't say, come back tomorrow and we'll figure it out. Now, there are times where you don't have the means, you don't have the insight, you don't have the capability, and it is wise to come back tomorrow and sit down and figure out those next steps. But he's saying in Proverbs, if you're able to take care of it now, then why delay? So we're going to be looking at Galatians, part of Galatians chapter 5. as we consider what it looks like to serve now. And how we take that from a body of Christ, a gathering where we've come here to worship God, into the streets, into the workplace, into the schools, into our neighborhoods, into our homes. Jesus says that if you want to be the greatest of all, you must become servant of all. And he says this in response to his disciples who are arguing about which one of them is the greatest. I don't know, maybe you've done that and you don't want to admit it, and I'm not asking you to admit it publicly. But you've been in a setting, in a situation, and you've kind of looked around the room and you thought, I wonder who the best is. Maybe you're on a sports team and you're at some big invitational meet of some kind, and you've got teams from all over the state gathered around, and you're just sitting back and you're saying, I wonder who the best is. And you might be thinking, I'm it. That could be true, it might not be true, but we like to think of ourselves as excelling in the things that we do. Now, I don't know, I have a problem in my mind thinking about the disciples arguing about which one is the greatest while Jesus is in their midst. Now, I could see them arguing about who was the second best. But with Jesus there, I mean, that ought to be kind of a given. Especially as you look at Scripture, and this takes place fairly near the end of his time on earth. They've by now figured out that this isn't some ordinary teacher. They're still not quite sure if they believe everything. But we deal with that in our life. We may not proclaim we're the best or we're the greatest, but we're up there. Which means those down here ought to be serving us. They ought to be taking care of our needs. We're better than that. And Jesus kind of flips that whole thing on its head and says, no. The more that you think of yourself, the more that you ought to serve others. It's that nature of God Himself who, the Bible says, Jesus humbled Himself as the one who was greatest to become servant of all, taking on the form of a bondservant, of a slave, so that He could serve us and meet a need that we could never meet on our own. As I mentioned in Sunday school class this morning, a need we could never meet on our own and still live. And so as we look at this idea of serving now, I want us to begin with the thought that almost sounds contradictory, because when we serve now, we must serve noticeably. Now, I know the Bible says that we ought to do our good deeds in secret. We ought to not blow our own horn and call attention to ourselves. That's pride. That's the bad kind of pride. That we ought to live in humility and serve others. But I think the difference is that we serve noticeably is different than serving to be noticed. In fact, Jesus said that as we serve others, he doesn't say that part, but that's what he's referring to. Let your light so shine that people see your good works. But your motivation is such that they don't praise you for it. They glorify your Father who is in heaven. And so we serve now when we serve in a way that people notices that God's at work in our life. And when we serve noticeably, I'm not talking about drawing attention to ourselves. I'm talking about serving in a way that God is noticed, that God is seen, that He is made visible. Galatians 5, beginning at verse 13. He says, "You, my brethren, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love." The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbor as yourself. Now catch this warning. Verse 15, if you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. When we serve noticeably, we serve in a way that others are built up rather than torn down. Jesus says that the world, the people that don't yet know Him, will know that we belong to Him by the way we love one another. But love that is unexpressed is a pretty weak love. Right, guys? We're approaching Valentine's Day coming up on Saturday, right? And the world takes this holiday and it tries to create expressions of love that sometimes are, well, kind of weak. The expressions of love that Jesus talks about are more than flowers and chocolates. Not that flowers and chocolates or ice cream or anything like that is bad, but it's deeper than that. And when we serve in that kind of way, when our love is expressed, people say, "Wow, that doesn't look like what I expected." We live in a world, and I don't know how you can avoid noticing it, that is full of division and hatred. And we draw lines in the sand, and we've moved from drawing lines in the sand to drawing lines in the concrete that become immovable. And we are told to hate people just because they're on this side of the line instead of this side of the line. And the Bible says that when we love each other, regardless of what side of the line that they're sitting on, people notice because it's different. And we love them not by words, but by deeds. And we serve people in a way that's noticeable because it's motivated by love. We're not desiring to draw attention to ourselves. In fact, we tend to shy away from attention that's put upon us. But our job as believers is to live in such a way that Jesus is seen in us, that His light is reflected through us. And so as you have opportunities this week, love people in a way that gets their attention, that's noticed, that shows Jesus. But it isn't just about people noticing Jesus in us. This serving now is also a need to serve obediently. We like to define how we serve. I'll serve in this way and this way only. This is comfortable. This is what I have time for. This is what I feel good about. But God says that our service to Him ought to be done out of obedience to Him, not out of our own definition. Picking up Galatians 5 and verse 16. Verses 16 and 17. "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want." Now, we've experienced that, right? We're drawn through our flesh and through our mind and through ourself to certain things. And we live in a time, and really all times have been this way, where the world kind of says, it's okay if that's what makes you happy. It's okay if that's what you like. And we drift into these actions of disobedience because we've been told it's okay. As long as you believe in God, it's okay. And Jesus says, if you believe in me, you'll do what I say. The it's just okay philosophy, the devil believes at that level. But as we live obediently, we live by the word of God, by his spirit, by the instruction of his word, not in a legalistic manner that we're somehow earning favor with God. But we're serving in this level of obedience because we want to please God. It's that nature of love that says, what can I do? What can I say? How can I live in a way that elevates this person across from me, this person beside me? I care more about them than I care about myself. And when we begin to have that kind of love for God, we live in obedience to him and to his word in such a way that we care differently for the people around us. Our serving of them according to their need. You know, sometimes we say, okay, I'll serve people. God says to serve people. Here's what I'll do. And we just make this is what I do. And we come across a person and they don't need any of those things that we said, this is what I'll do. And we'll say, I'm off the hook. I don't have to serve them because I don't do that. And God says, no. You're called to serve one another, not according to what you're comfortable with, not according to what you're good at, but according to what they need. You find yourself as parents doing that, right? You have this baby born, and it's such a cute baby, and everybody loves this baby, and then all of a sudden, the diaper's full, and everybody leaves. And yet you change that diaper, you serve that baby because you love that baby. Not because you enjoy the cleaning up and changing the diaper. But you do it out of love. And you obey the command to do what's needed because you love that baby. There are a number of individuals in this room that are watching online that have taken that same step with elderly parents. And there are things that you find yourself doing that you may have told yourself at some point in your life, I'll never do that. But you do it out of obedience to God's command to serve according to their need. And because you love. And what happens in the community of believers when we begin to be obedient to God's word and says, if that's what you need, and it aligns with God's word, that's where obedience is centered on. Sometimes we claim we need things and we expect others to take care of it that aren't really things God says we need. And we become selfish and we demand, you meet my needs. Bible says you have to. No, we're misinterpreting, we're misusing God's word. when it aligns with God's word and the care that we give to one another, we serve obediently so that Jesus is honored, so that his word is obeyed and it's made known. Finally, we serve now, and we serve noticeably, when we serve obediently, but we also serve worshipfully. It really does all become about God. It really does all become about honoring Jesus. Verse 18 of Galatians 5 says, "But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law." Jesus encounters a woman, a Samaritan woman. She'd had a rough life. She was out at the well getting water all by herself in the middle of the day at the time when it wasn't customary for people to come get water, and it's believed it's because she was an outcast. Jesus begins this conversation with her, which kind of takes her off guard, because for two reasons. One, this is a man talking to a woman, which was not appropriate in their culture for this man to even begin this conversation. But it wasn't just a woman, it was a Samaritan woman, and the Jews would have nothing to do with the Samaritans. The Samaritans would have nothing to do with the Jews. And so for this conversation to even begin, it broke a lot of rules. Not a lot of God's rules, but a lot of people's rules. She was shocked. And so this woman begins, Jesus starts talking about water, and if you knew who I was, you would ask for water, and I'd give you water that would satisfy your thirst forever, and you'd not have to come back here. And she's thinking, wow, I'd really love to not have to keep making this trip from town out to this well and getting water in these jars and carrying them back. And she says, this doesn't even make sense. But she says, I know Scripture enough that there's a Messiah coming. And when that Messiah comes, he'll explain all of this. And Jesus says, guess what? I'm here. Go get your husband. Let's talk about this. Well, I don't have a husband. It's an easy answer. In fact, she did not have a husband at the time. Jesus says, well, in fact, you've had a number of husbands. The man you're with at the moment isn't your husband. And there are those that believe her intention is to change the subject. It could be. I personally believe she was so taken back by his knowledge that she actually agreed and believed that this was the Messiah. Because all of a sudden she shifts from this being put on the spot to asking about worship. Who and how and where are we supposed to worship? I believe her heart's desire in the midst of a messed up life was to worship God in the way that Jesus describes, as in spirit and in truth. But she had been taught that to worship God, you had to worship on this mountain over here. And the Jews had been taught to worship God, you had to worship on this mountain over here. And her question was, who's right? We like to ask that question a lot, don't we? But really, we ask it in a way as, I'm right. They're wrong. And I love the answer of Jesus, you both got it messed up. The Jews worship what they know. They worship what they've been taught. The Samaritans are worshiping according to their traditions, but there's a time coming, and in fact, Jesus says, it's here right now when the true worshipers of God worship in spirit and in truth. It's not about the location, it's about the heart. And when we serve now, we serve in a way that worships God because we're present with Him. It is that Spirit that removes us from the penalty of the law that requires death for sin. It removes us from the penalty of this permanent separation from the living God. And we serve worshipfully because we serve knowing we've been set free. And what an incredible privilege to serve without strings, to serve without question, is it enough? To serve as an act of worship. The Bible says that we ought to present ourselves to God as a living sacrifice. What does it look like? I believe a living sacrifice, pleasing and acceptable to God, is a life of serving others, where their needs become more important than our own. And we worship God when we say to Him, I love the people You created even more than I love myself. And I care about them enough to serve them, to represent Jesus in a way that worships Him, that attributes to Him the worth that He is owed. When I think about what it looks like to serve now, to unwrap this gift of serving, I think about so many people that faithfully served others. I think about individuals that continually serve others, and they'll be the first to say, this isn't really in my comfort zone. I'm not really all that good at this. I used to think the excuse or the rationale, I guess if no one else will, I will, was a bad thing. And I do believe there's a better motivation than that, but that's a start. I want to please and honor and worship God in such a way that if no one else wants to worship by serving in this particular need, I guess I will. Because I love God so much. Because I love people so much. Because I want to worship the God that saved me, that rescued me, that made me whole. You see, this gift of serving, some do it more than others because God has called them into special acts of service. But He said, do not use the freedom that you have in Christ, for selfish purposes to indulge your sinful desires, but serve one another in love. All of you, serve one another. And serve now. As we come to a time of decision, the question really begins at that point that asks, is Jesus in charge of my life? Have I surrendered to Him? Have I made Him Lord of my life? Have I submitted to having my sins washed away, to be filled with His Spirit, to walk in a newness of life? And if you're here or you're joining us online and you've not surrendered to Jesus, That's where this act of service, this gift of serving begins. And I'd love to have that conversation with you. And if you're here this morning, we can begin that conversation in just a few moments. We'll be singing a song of decision, and you can join me in the room to my left, and we can start that. We can set up some times to talk, to pray together. But most of us gather because we've surrendered to Jesus. We want Him to be Lord in our life. We love the way that He served us by being our Savior, and we guess we ought to serve others. But we need help. We need the reminders of God's Word. We need the reminders of His Spirit and of one another. And so perhaps your decision has more to do with, will I serve in a way that Jesus has noticed? Will I serve in a way that's obedient to God? Will I serve in a way that worships Him? If you need someone to pray with you about that decision that you're making, you also may join me in the room to my left and we can pray together. I say each week, you're always welcome to find somebody near you and say, hey, would you pray with me? We've got a lot of people in here that would willingly say yes. You can pray where you're at. You can go into one of the other rooms and pray together. You can make arrangements to meet after the service or some other time and just pray. It's one of those gifts that God has given each of us, the ability to talk to Him, to pray with others. But whatever your decision is, I pray that part of that decision today is that you will serve now. And you'll spend time with God, allowing Him to define what that looks like in your life. Would you stand as we sing?